Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. We're brought to you today by our great friends at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. You know, the Purdy's have served the insurance needs of this valley for decades. Once people go to Purdy Insurance, that's where they keep their insurance needs. You should find out why. Give them a call at Purdy Insurance, and you can always go online to purdyinsurance.com or stop in on Market Street in Sunbury. And we're in the Chateau today, the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin Herr, ace Steeler fan, on the line today, shocked and stunned by the continuous praise that I've given to the Steeler dynasty today.
I know. I had to ask you during the news there, is everything okay? Are you feeling all right? I was getting a little concerned.
Again, I'm objective. That bothers you.
No, I'm just not used to objectivity in sports talk.
No, but when I look,
and I'm not. I'll admit it.
All right. Well, let's look at the great coaches in the history of the NFL. You know, and I may miss somebody along the way. Let's start with George Halas. Decades, Decatur Staley's right up to the Chicago Bears. Halas did have some adaptability in his career. I mean, because remember, he is the guy that had Sid Luckman at quarterback, and they threw seven touchdowns and ran the T formations and so forth. He did have some adaptability in his career. So let's give Halas credit for that, and not by look at the end, he had Billy Wade and Rudy Bukic at quarterback, and Gale Sayers was his running back. You know, when he needed to have a pass game and he changed the T formation and so forth, he gets a lot of credit. Now, adaptability over a long period of time. Okay. Vince Lombardi. Vince Lombardi came in, took over a one-win team, won seven games his first year, and then... But over five championships in 7 years, Vince Lombardi did it one way. Great defense, great running game, and you mix in the pass where you need to. Okay? But the Green Bay playbook was not an extensive one. And Lombardi won one way. Bill Walsh won one way. Bill Walsh won one way. West Coast offense brings it in there. 49ers, same style, maybe different personnel, but same style, correct? I think that's safe to say. Don Shula had adaptability in him. Don Shula won his... he had John Unitas in his career when he was with the Baltimore Colts. And so he mixed run pass, and he had Lenny Moore and so forth. When he got to the Dolphins, he just kind of felt that, look, the way the rules are, power running game and so forth. But then when he got Dan Marino, he was as wide open gets. So Shula was really adaptable too. But Walsh and Lombardi both won the same way. Paul Brown really was an innovator in so many of the things that are done in the NFL even today. From game films to evaluations to having the coach call the plays and so forth. A lot of the things that are done today, Paul Brown did. Now, Brown, to his credit, when Bill Walsh was on his staff with the Cincinnati Bengals, acquiesced to the West Coast pass offense when he had Virgil Carter and Greg Cook. Two names no one ever thought they'd hear on any talk show in America today. Those would be among the pantheon of the greatest coaches of all time. And then there's Chuck Knoll. And Chuck Knoll and his adaptability as to what he had personnel-wise and what the game dictated rules-wise took essentially the same personnel and changed how they played the game. He won two Super Bowls one way, Lombardi style. Great defense, great running game. Mix in the pass where you can. And then won two championships. Not West Coast offense, but Raider and Al Davis Raiders stretch the field and Bill Walsh style. Throw the football. It's an amazing feat. Because Al won one way. They wanted to mad bomb it and stretch the field. That's what he wanted all the time. Chuck Knoll changed how they played. Because the rules said that in order to win, this is what you have to do. And he was smart enough to do that. That's why the 4-6 is the most amazing feat. And then in 76, when Mike Kruzak had to be the quarterback, and I think, that's the year I think Andy said they pitched 5 shutouts, right? There won't be 5 shutouts in the National Football League. It's 4 years combined, let alone one team doing it in 1 year. Chuck Knoll had the desire of the limelight of Greg Popovich. He had the toughness of Lombardi. He had the ability to let his guys be men and did not impose curfews at Super Bowls. And enough trust in them as professionals. And he believed in the absolute fundamentals of the game of Lombardi. All that combined into one man. I still don't know why he had Terry Hanratty out there at the end of the Super Bowl. That's all right. Different story. I don't think Terry Hanratty knows why he was out there. Chuck Knoll will be laid to rest tomorrow. 82 years of age. You always hate to say this, but merciful. I mean, he had Alzheimer's. Latter stages of his life.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was Alzheimer's. I know they said he had an undisclosed, is what I kept reading about, an undisclosed illness.
That's what my understanding happened to be. Tell you firsthand when an Alzheimer's patient passes away or somebody in the early stages of it, and it is sad but merciful. Tony Gwynn, on the other hand, 54 years of age, dying of cancer. And for those of you who chew, take a long look at Tony Gwynn. This was a great, great hitter. I saw his appearance at PNC Park as a pinch hitter in the 8th inning. I was at the game that day. And long standing ovation. And two of the greatest hitters in the history of the game both came out of San Diego. Ted Williams, Tony Gwynn. And Gwynn was also a fine coach at San Diego State. Upgraded the facilities there and so forth. Alberto Santos, who played for the State College Spikes, played for Tony Gwynn at San Diego State. Told me how much he loved him. Told him how much he taught him. So you know, I guess he said that's one of the things he chewed. And that's, you know, it was a vice of his. And that's unfortunate. So, last World Series he played in, he went 8-for-16 against the Yankees. Amazing. When the strike occurred in 94, he had 19 hits and 40 at-bats. He was once in that stage. He pushed his batting average from 386 to 394. Season stopped.
I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind that he would not have been a 400 hitter at the end of that season. Would it have ended?
I don't know, Kevin. I never can say stuff like that. Because, you know, it's such a long year. I mean, you know, remember 1980 and George Brett? I mean, George Brett was a marvelous hitter, like Tony Gwynn. You just don't, you know, at some point for inexplicably you hit a little bit of a slump. It's hard to hit 400. I mean, Williams went into the last doubleheader of the season against the Philadelphia A's. You know, he wasn't hitting 400. It was going to be rounded off. He was hitting like 399.6 or 399.7. Okay? And he was advised, don't play, they'll round it off to 400. He said, I don't want to do that. And he went 6-for-8 in the doubleheader and he hit 406. It's just that hard to have. It's just that hard. It's just too hard, I think. Now, if I were to pick anybody over since Ted Williams at 406 and 41 that could have done it, Gwynn would have been one of the choices. The other one would have been George Brett. I think 30 years, the best pure hitters that I saw in baseball in the last 25, 30 years would be Wade Boggs, Don Mattingly, and Tony Gwynn. Remarkable. Great, great, great. I mean, I understand why you'd say that. It's just I can't say that because, you know, there's still 2 months to go in the season.
No, I know, but I was just confident in the way he hit the ball and how often he made contact. I mentioned struck out 400. I think it was a little over 400 times and over 10,000 at bats.
Right. No, I mean, no question. And he understood you use the whole. Look, Boggs, Ichiro, and Tony Gwynn, if you ever watch them take batting practice, all that power could drive the ball. They all could have been 400 home run guys, which over 20-year careers, that's 20 home runs a season. Okay? They all could have been 400 home run guys, but they understood it was best for everybody that's how they play. That's how they hit. Let's take a break. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Naturally, the big story in basketball is not the San Antonio Spurs winning. It's what's going to happen to the LeBron James and the Heat. And that'll be an interesting because he has until what, June 29th, I think, to opt out of his contract if he wants. And he then has a big decision to make as to what he wants to do. He is in the single most powerful position of any player in sports, to be frank with you. No one has more power as an individual in sports than LeBron James does.
ESPN is going to run that on the bottom line. It's going to have a LeBron update on the bottom line between now and then every time they do an update.
But you know what, though? But everybody knows who LeBron is. I mean, even the least casual of fans hears the name LeBron, and they know who LeBron is. And, you know, he is in that position. Now, you're saying, well, he can make millions and millions and millions of dollars. Now, this is not going to be about thing. I think this is going to be about what he believes wherever he is, whether it's Miami or someplace else, win. I mean, people forget, as much as the decision was panned and so forth, and justifiably so, it was just an arrogant, immature thing to do, and if he were to do it all over again, it would not have been handled that way. I'm 98% sure I can make that statement. But people forget that he made, what, $15 million a year with the Heat? If he had stayed in Cleveland and not gone to Miami, he would have made $22 million a year. He would have made more money, $7 million more per year to stay in Cleveland. But he wanted to win. He wanted to win NBA titles, and he saw the avenue in Miami with Wade and then eventually them acquiring Bosch as the avenue to do it. There's something to be said for that in my mind. I know a lot of people are mad as to you know, you left Cleveland, he abandoned them and so forth. But at some point, the object of the game is to win. He did not go to Miami so that he could make more money per year. Now, in the end, with endorsements and so forth, he does. It's a smart business decision. But he didn't, you know, he made less money as an NBA player going to Miami than he would have if he'd stayed in Cleveland. In fact, millions less. That's because that's how the rules are shaped. So he didn't go to Miami for the winning and the money. He took less money than he could have in Cleveland to go to Miami. Now, obviously, it opened up more financial doors. I mean, you walk into a McDonald's right now and you see him bigger than life in there slam dunking a ball as a cardboard cutout. You know, as a two-time NBA champion and a two-time Olympic gold medalist, he has endorsements. Now he has decisions to make. He's in a powerful position. And when people do that, they change things up, you know. I mean, look at Martin Keimer. Martin Keimer just won the U.S. Open Championship. Martin Keimer, in 2010, won the PGA Championship. And people don't realize, for 8 weeks, Martin Keimer was the number one player in the world. Not Tiger Woods, Martin Keimer was. Keimer then went out and he changed his swing. You know why Martin Keimer changed his swing? So you get a little more draw, you get a little more fade in the ball. Do you know why he changed his swing? He changed his swing. He felt that his shot shape did not fit Augusta National. Amazing. Because Martin Keimer knows it's one thing to be a great PGA player. It's another thing when you win majors. And he went and changed his swing because he thought it would help him win majors and not just the Travelers. Dick in Milton. Hi, Dick.
Hey, Steve. Hell, a few minutes ago, you were talking about all-time great football coaches, and I was kind of listening, but I'll never be a fan of the team, but I thought Landry wasn't bad.
Yeah, you're right. Tom Landry was. Tom Landry, though, won one way. And I think you're right. Tom Landry should be on that list of all-time great coaches. Landry won with balance. Won with defense. Landry was already throwing the ball before the rule changes. With Staubach, what separated Knoll from Landry is that Knoll won Lombardi's way, and then Knoll won Bill Walsh's way.
Yeah, I mean, something
I'll
never be a Cowboy fan, but something made them America's team. I don't know how that came about, kind of like the Yankees.
You know why? You know why?
I'm not a fan, so I don't know why.
Yeah, here's the reason why. NFL Films, the year the Cowboys lost to the Colts in Super Bowl V, they had to do the Cowboys Super Bowl film. And they had noticed as they were going through on the road that everywhere they went, there were a lot of Cowboy fans. So everywhere they went, there was like a Cowboy fan here, a Cowboy fan there, where they were noticing that. So it was NFL Films. They named the team film that year America's Team, and it stuck.
Well, as I say, I'm not a fan, never will be, but obviously Landry is somewhere on the list. That's all I wanted
Dick,
to say.
Yeah, Dick, you're absolutely right. And you're no question, Landry is one of the greats of all time as a coach, and you're right to put him in there.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Dick. Bottom of the hour, news coming up. Kevin has a lot to say about the NBA and about LeBron James. They're two of his favorite topics. I'll try to slow him down. Maybe I'll divert him and I'll talk about auto racing.
I was just hoping after the finals were over that we wouldn't have to talk NBA anymore.
But thank you, LeBron.
But
the NBA draft is coming up. Kevin, you got to face facts. Yeah, but you got to face facts. And I mean this in all seriousness, okay? The NBA rates.
It does. It's gotten, it's more popular now than I think it was maybe 5-7 years ago.
Now, Dwight Howard changing teams, overrated as a decision. Carmelo, overrated as a decision. LeBron James, not overrated. Because where he goes is where the league's going to go.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Great people care about your needs. That's a great combination. Here at the Chateau, the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin doesn't like the attention that the NBA gets on a national stage. And
that might be an understatement, by the way.
Yeah, but I understand where you're coming from, and I think you've got a really good point. I mean, let's talk about our area in particular. What does our area like? Our area loves they love wrestling, college wrestling, which is at the national stage. There are only 76 college programs in the country that have it. I mean, so like it's one out of five schools, for goodness sakes. All right, so it's not really a national trending sport. But our area loves wrestling. And so we talk about wrestling on the show. Our area loves Penn State football and college football. So we talk about Penn State football and college football. And, of course, we get Joe Susan up Bucknell. Our area loves to talk about college basketball. And we do that as well with Penn State and, between Patrick Chambers and Dave Paulson talking about Bucknell and so forth. Yeah. So we talk about wrestling. We talk about Penn State. We talk about high school sports, things like that, that are important to our area. The NBA is not important to our area. It is on a national stage and trending nationally. The NBA trends really well nationally. It trends really well nationally. And LeBron James trends across the spectrum is a rarity for any athlete. Peyton Manning trends across the spectrum, but so does LeBron James. So we'll pick that point up in a moment. Let's talk to Mike in State College. Hi, Mike.
Steve, hi. We're good friends. Wayne was cutting patty today, and I'm driving back to Philly. But with the passing of Chuck Noll, I'm reminded that the fact that Mr. Rooney was hard on Joe Paterno's case to join the Steelers at that time, and Chuck Noll is who he wound up with. And you may remember the story as part of that recruiting after the wonderful Orange Bowl game with the retry for the extra point. Mr. Rooney said to Joe, "How did you get so lucky?" And Joe told him about his mother, who was such a devout Catholic, going to recite in the Venu every time his team had a game in honor of Joe and his team. And Rooney said to Joe, my sister's a nun. I need to talk to her. In 73, yeah. after the Immaculate Reception, Joe called Rooney and said, "I'll trade you my mother for your sister."
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I remember that. It was January of 69. Chuck Noll got hired on January 27th after Joe had turned down the chance to coach the Steelers. It was Don Shula who recommended to Art Rooney Chuck Noll. And Chuck Noll got the job. I think it was on January 27th of 69 that Chuck Noll got that job after Joe had turned it down. It was then at that point where I think it was, I'm going to say it was after the 73 season, and where Joe had another undefeated season, and of course the Patriots hunted him down, and that's where at that stage it was Bob Patterson said to him, "Hey, look, we need to do a contract with you." He goes, I don't need a contract. No. And Joe, and they went down to Pittsburgh, and I can't remember the name of the attorney, but they went out, they sat down, they talked about a contract. Joe then went out for a walk, came back, and they had themselves a contract, because Joe did not have a contract with Penn State. Right. He was just on the faculty up until 1973.
That's right. And our thoughts to your buddy out in San Diego today, of course, and the loss that team in baseball had. But wishing you well, Steve. Hope to see you again soon.
Thanks, Mike. Hope everything's well you, my friend.
Yeah. Bye-bye. So. Thanks.
Yes, my friend Rick Berry is one of the part owners of the Padres. So, the loss of Tony Gwynn today. Old Joe Paterno stories. Never hurts to tell a few of them. I'll trade my mother for your sister.
That's a good story, though.
I had forgotten about that story, which was that it's true. Joe did do that. We're talking about trending, for example, nationally. And like in our area, you know, we talk about Penn State football. We talk about wrestling, whether it's high school wrestling or Penn State wrestling. We talk about baseball. We talk about high school football on Friday. I mean, those are things that in our area, that's what makes local talk so important, where you don't have the national perspective rammed down your throat all the time by one outlet. I mean, local talk is absolutely invaluable, whether it happens to be local, like Mark Lawrence deals with On the Mark, or what we do in the afternoon. We take things into what our area happens to be. And when you look at the national scene, though, I mean, you don't like it's going to be LeBron. Okay? Yet, of all the figures that we've seen in sports, just based over the last 30 years, this is going to be one of the more significant situations of stay or move that affects an entire league, as opposed to any others that we've seen along the way. Peyton Manning moving from Indianapolis to Denver. Indianapolis cut him.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask you. How is this different than Peyton Manning? Because I didn't see Peyton Manning get... I mean, don't get me wrong. There was a lot of coverage of where Peyton Manning was every single day and who he was talking to. But it wasn't hour by hour on the ticker.
But it wasn't his decision either. It was Indianapolis's decision to release him. All right? It wasn't Peyton Manning opting out of a contract where it was his decision to opt out and then seek employment elsewhere. He was forced to seek employment elsewhere because Indianapolis decided to cut him. Because if they didn't, then they would do a huge payment. And Indianapolis, frankly, did the right thing. They frankly did the right thing for what is best long-term for that franchise. They were coming off a 2-14 season. Peyton Manning back, they would have had a great season. They would have had a great season. It would have been great the last 2 years. But Andrew Luck drafted him, and they saw that he had a chance to be a special talent. And he is a special talent that is going to be quarterbacking in this league after Peyton Manning retires. So for the Indianapolis Colts, believe it or not, in the end, they made the right choice. Peyton Manning, in the end, it was best for him that he went to the Denver Broncos. So it worked out for both parties in that case. This is different. This is the total and complete control of the player. I mean, Peyton Manning went to Miami, Arizona, Denver, but he did so because he was forced to do so. Okay? LeBron James has total control of this situation. Do I stay in Miami because this is what I want to do, or do I opt and go someplace else? He has total control over it. I mean, does he stay in Miami and it's still the Heat and the magnet that goes with it? Does he go back to Cleveland? Goodness, the feel-good story. He goes back to Cleveland. Can he bring his hometown a championship? Does he, for example, go to the Los Angeles Clippers? Steve Ballmer, billionaire, now owns the team. He goes there. You got Blake Griffin. You got Chris Paul. I mean, he has a multitude of options where he controls the fate of a lot of different items that affect the entire league because it's his decision and he's making all the decisions instead of being forced to make a decision. In the NFL, the decisions are made by clubs. You don't see players saying, I'm leaving, and then they go someplace else. Contract's up, I'm going. When does that happen in the NFL? It happens in Major League Baseball, but the days of Reggie Jackson and Dave Winfield and that's gone by the boards. Even that's gone by the boards. I mean, who are the biggest free agent signings in baseball right now that have changed the entire balance of power? Who would that be? Mike Trout's drafted, came up through the system. Cabrera traded for. Ortiz was in a trade, or you know, he got cut, and then he went from Minnesota to Boston. I mean, Jimmy Rollins may get traded, Chase Utley may get traded. Andrew McCutcheon's a draft pick who made his way through. Buster Posey's a draft pick who made his way through. Where's the significant free agent movement in the NHL, where the entire balance of the power of the league changed because of a player moved? Who? I mean, Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, they've been lifelong Chicago Blackhawks. Jonathan Quick's a lifelong L.A. King. Sidney Crosby, a lifelong Pittsburgh Penguin. Same thing with Malkin. Ovechkin, he's been only with the Washington Capitals. I mean, yeah, obviously Carter and Richards and those guys, and one other player that doesn't come to my mind, were former Philadelphia Flyers, but that was all dealt, you know. Here is one of the single... What he does is going to affect the fate of not just franchises, but the entire league, and with a new television contract coming up, he'll have an effect on that as well. That's why you say you may get sick of it, but you cannot understate the significance of what his decision this time is going to be.
Well, I also concede that because LeBron being who he is and what he's become as far as attention and the highlight and the spotlight being on him in the NBA, that had a lot to do with the higher numbers that the NBA saw in the playoffs, television-wise, too. But it was, if you look in, understandably, if you look in Boston, New York and Los Angeles, those numbers weren't as high, especially for the finals, because those teams were not involved. So I kind of see what you're saying, but I also realize that there are a lot in the big markets. I don't think they like LeBron that much because they don't play for the for their team.
Yeah, but you know, but LeBron James trans across that. I'll be interested to see what ESPN's ratings happen to be for the second quarter of this year. In 2012, ESPN's second quarter ratings were really, really strong. In ESPN's second quarter ratings for 2013, they were down 32%. Now, what was the difference, Kev? The difference was as follows.
I can't tell. Go ahead and tell me. I don't remember.
Okay. Well, no, that's okay. No. I'm just, that's a rhetorical question. Not a hair. Come on, Kevin. Answer the question.
I don't remember.
It was a rhetorical. Here's the reason why. Under the current NBA contract, TNT and ESPN alternate each year as to which conference final they get. In 2012, the Eastern Conference final featuring the Miami Heat was on ESPN. In the next year, that the Indiana-Miami Eastern Conference Final TNT. Meanwhile, the Western Conference Final between San Antonio and, I think, Oklahoma City was the ESPN. This year, it was back to Miami and LeBron James. I expect an uptick in the ratings and ESPN touting those ratings. Oh, I'd say, the quarter ends, June 30th, at some time in mid-July, ESPN touting a ratings increase in the second quarter of the year.
It's funny, though, how the NBA has one player or team that everybody follows, but yet sports like the NFL, people will watch multiple games. Like, for instance, the Lakers. You know, growing up, it was Lakers and Celtics is what you ended up watching if you wanted to watch the NBA because they were two really good teams, and they were on an awful lot. Rightly so, because they were good. And then it was and then it was also the Bulls because of Jordan and the way they were playing. Now it's Miami. But I don't necessarily, and maybe I'm not looking at it right, but I don't necessarily see that same thing with, say, the NFL, where the NFL has one major player or team as opposed to the NBA and the way the NBA is watched.
Kevin, I think you're spot on. The NFL it doesn't matter if Seattle is playing. Well, it's Seattle and Denver this time. Okay, Seattle and Denver. So two teams west of the Mississippi playing each other in the Super Bowl. And I have said early in my career, I will know the NBA is really deep in the thick of the landscape of the American sports culture when Utah plays Atlanta in the NBA final and people are watching it.
I did not have any NBA championship parties.
Right. No, but I'm saying that, I think the NBA, for the most part, it's not perfect, but for the most part, they've been pretty fortunate since Bird and Magic came out into the NBA together in 1980. Because back in 1980 and 81, the NBA finals, when Magic Johnson took over at center in 1980 for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and when Jabbar had bad migraine headaches and couldn't play Game 6 in Philadelphia, right? And then when Bird won the championship in 81 when they beat the Houston Rockets, you know what those two finals had in common? They were both on tape delay. They would show the games on the they were games on the weekend live. The games during the week were on tape delay. That's where the state of the NBA was. Well, then you go through and 82, the Lakers win. You know, they're back on live. Dr. J and that magnificent team in 83 with the Sixers, with Moses Malone, Dr. J, Bobby Jones, Mo Cheeks, Andrew Toney, won it in 83. That Magic Bird matchup in 84, that epic goes seven games, Celtics win. Next year, Magic with the baby hook, you know, they win. Then the Celtics win again with Bird, and they had Bill Walton on the team at that point. And then the Lakers come back in 87. They get this lucky run of, like, their stars that people can identify and want to see on in the finals. And you follow that up with Jordan winning 6 out of 8 in the 90s, and you now follow that up in this particular time frame with the most dominant player, LeBron James, in 4 straight NBA finals. They've been fortunate that our key players that have across-the-board popularity have been the ones that have been showcased in their championship series. And that's, I think, has contributed tremendously to the NBA. They'll get a new TV contract. This is going to be huge. It's going to be huge. And LeBron's 30 years old. He's got at least 4 really great years left in him, maybe 5, and he's taking great care of himself. As you can see, he can take a Volkswagen and throw it over a hedge. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on ESPN News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's interesting that you look, the fate of Major League Baseball does not hang on where Mike Trout or Miguel Cabrera plays next.
No.
Or Andrew McCutchen. The fate of the NHL does not really matter where Sidney Crosby ends up next or Alex Ovechkin. It doesn't matter where Tom Brady happens to be or Peyton Manning. But the fate of the NBA does hang on where LeBron James goes next.
You know, with the exception of Phil Mickelson, maybe, Tiger Woods is the same effect, I think, on golf. When Tiger's not in the running or nobody hears about it, nobody really cares. Now, Phil Mickelson maybe a little bit more, but not to the numbers of Tiger.
I think you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. The only guy, Woods is the only one that moves the needle on the charts. Mickelson moves the needle when he's there, but not to the same extent. Now, Martin Keimer is a great player who has shaped his game to try and win major championships, which I admire. But it's not going to draw more eyeballs to the TV. LeBron James has what's called Q rating. And there are certain people that have Q rating. Peyton does, Brady does, LeBron does.